I'll tell you, it's absolutely amazing how quickly this year has gone by. Here we are. It's now the second week in September. And it's like you find yourself saying, where did the year go? So today I thought it would be really valuable if we had a little conversation about what every sales rep should be thinking about in order to finish the year stronger. My name is Paul Castain from Castain Training Systems, and I'm the author of the YourSalesPlaybook.com blog and your host for the Sales Playbook Podcast. I've personally trained over 15,000 sales reps, sales leaders, and business owners to sell more. So get your playbooks ready because school is now in session. Okay, so I have this need to clear the air about something. I mean, I'm going to say it for you because you probably heard the intro for this whole podcast today. And here's this nutcase, Castain, talking about year end, and it's like only September 10th. I mean, heck, we just celebrated Labor Day. And then before that, wasn't it just like yesterday that we were hanging out and doing the whole 4th of July and summertime? I know I took a few camping trips this summer. And it just seems kind of odd to be talking about something that seems so far away, but you guys know how it works. It really isn't that far away. And quite frankly, to be talking, having this conversation now in September is actually too late. And I found that out the hard way my first year in business. And it was one of those things I was like hanging my head, like I should have known better. And it was such a rookie mistake. And in the spirit of making, like, I don't know, shitty excuses or whatever, my first year, I was so like bogged down in all the setup and setting up my corporation and, you know, getting my accountant and all this kind of stuff. And it was one of these things that I knew someday I was going to start a business, but I had a series of life events. A big event that I often talk about is my wife that shortly before in December 2010 had been diagnosed with breast cancer. So what happened was, I had kind of a tap on the shoulder once she was okay and everything, kind of that whole life is short thing. And I'm tired of putting off my dreams. And, I had to like grow the balls to like make a move. So I literally emptied 3 bank accounts, left my cushy job as a vice president in a $1 billion a year printing company, and hung out my shingle and went off on my own. And this, by the time I did this, now it was already March. So I was so bogged down in that kind of stuff, landing my initial clients, all the setup that I had to do. There's a lot of things that go into starting a business that many times we don't think about. And what happened was, next thing you know, it's like it's like the holiday season, and training traditionally slows way the hell down. In fact, slows way the hell down is not a good way of saying it. It actually falls off a cliff. I mean, it is like dead, like tumbleweeds and stuff. Like, it's like barren. And I found out the hard way, and I'll never forget that. I mean, I will never, ever forget that feeling of no money coming in for over a month. And I decided never to let that happen again. So what I did was, is I, kind of told my ego to leave the room and owned up to the mistake and took my medicine and my lesson and all that kind of stuff. And then what I did from there was I decided to start ramping up a lot earlier for that year-end push. So this way, the whole theory that I had was, okay, if I can really go over the top with my activity prior to that period in November, it really starts, right around Thanksgiving. And I say around, meaning not after Thanksgiving. I mean, leading up to Thanksgiving, you start having people mentally check out. And just in case you don't know what I'm talking about here, I want you to think about what happens in your own office and with a lot of your clients that you have right around Thanksgiving, that week before. It's like nobody really wants to meet with you. A lot of people are already starting to take extra days off. And if they're not taking extra days off, mentally they're off somewhere else and they're not looking to really make any additional work that week. And then, of course, after the 4-day weekend, you have people, well, you know, I just got back. I mean, you know, God forbid you talk business. So you have a lot of that going on. And then it picks up again. But then you have a real serious mental checkout. And even more importantly, you have a lot of people starting to hit you with the old, well, you know what, let's pick up on this conversation after the holidays. Or, you know what, Castain, call me back after the new year or whatever. And you're saying to yourself, I mean, and you can't say it to them, like, you know, what the F? Like, so you don't work for a month? Right? So my whole thing is, instead of sitting and ranting and pissing and moaning about it, what I decided to do was ramp up my activity a lot earlier. So for me, I actually start over the summertime. And I already run a pretty aggressive pace with going after opportunities and all the content I put out there. But I really begin to pick up that pace over the summer. Now, my reason for doing that is not only just to have extra time, it's because I found there's less noise over the summer. So if ever there was a time to get noticed, it's a time when everybody else is slacking and making excuses and all that over the summer. So I start over the summer. But for those of you who haven't started over the summer, let's start from right now, because you still have an incredible window right now that is not going to last as long as you would think. But this is such a great time for us to have this conversation, because what's going to happen, right, is we've got, I mean, September 10th here. So what are we talking about? A good 10 weeks that we have to really start slamming it. So having said that, what I want to throw at you are three things right off the bat that drive your business. I don't care if we're having a conversation right now about a year-end push, which we are. I don't care if we're having this conversation in January and like, all right, how do we start the year strong? I don't care if we're having this conversation in March or April or May and we want to pick up business or whatever. It really doesn't matter. Sales comes down to three drivers, and I call it the three drivers of success. Now, just in the spirit of prefacing a little bit here, it's going to really depend on your role. I mean, some of you just hunt for the business. Once you hunt and you get that business, it gets handed off to an account manager. So obviously some of these drivers might not apply to you, but I'm going to assume that every one of them does. It's up to you to kind of adjust accordingly, but you'll get the gist of what I'm talking about. There are lots and lots and lots of things that contribute to sales success. And instead of thinking about each one of those individually right now, I've just broken them down into just three very easy to remember categories. And that's why I call it the three drivers of success. And you have to be absolutely obsessed with these three drivers. Here they are. Just, and you're going to say duh to every one of them, but bear with me. The first one is, if you're in a hunting capacity, you obviously have to get new accounts. So that's driver number one, get new accounts. Well, when you're getting new accounts in the front door, you can't have them going out the back door and losing that business. So driver number two, sounds like two things I'm going to be saying, but I kind of lumped them into the same category. We're going to retain slash wow our existing clients. So retain slash wow our existing clients. Because I don't want to just keep you as a client. I want to wow you and impress you. Why? Well, aside from doing the right thing, it brings us to driver number three. If you are totally happy with the level of service that I've been giving you and the results that I get for you, well, it's going to be easier to grow this relationship. So the third driver is growing the business. So again, we have getting new accounts, retaining slash wowing existing accounts, and growing existing accounts. So what I want you to do first, the very first thing that's going to help you finish a lot stronger this year, and remember, this is a universal thing that I'm giving you. I don't want you to be hung up on the fact that I'm talking about this in like a seasonal type of context. This, I could give you this advice any day of the year and it would apply. And here's what I want you to do. I want you to take a hard look in the mirror as far as your skill level goes with those three drivers that we just talked about. Really take a good hard look in the mirror And you know what I always say when it comes to taking a look in the mirror? Before you do it, you have to ask your ego to leave the room, because your ego's going to tell you, nah, man, I kick ass there. You're the best there. Well, I don't know. I mean, you know, and just to put everybody at ease, I've been in sales now. It is 34 years. And as I often tell people, I'm very fortunate. I have 34 years of selling experience at the ripe old age of 52. I mean, I started right out of high school while I was going to college. But I'm here to tell you, there's still things that I need to get better at. And I, quite frankly, I wouldn't have it any other way. I think it would be boring if we didn't go through life as the humble student. And I'm hoping that you go through life and sales as a humble student, because that's the only way for you to grow. If you go around like you know it all, there's really no room for growth there. So what I wanted to say is if you take a good, hard look in the mirror at how you perform in the three drivers of sales success, it's going to be helpful. And I have a freebie I'm going to give you that's going to make it fun and very easy for you to do. So what we're looking at here is really, if you were to evaluate yourself, how are you at getting new accounts? If we were to take it a step further and say, okay, once we get the business, how are you at retaining / wowing those existing accounts? And then from there, how are you at growing that business and expanding that relationship, getting them into new products and services and other locations and other divisions and that kind of thing? So what I want you to do in order to make this nice and easy, I put together a free checklist for you. And what I did was I just put together this whole list of qualities of sales rock stars and decided to make it into a checklist so that each of us can look in the mirror and look at each of the qualities and rate ourselves on a scale from 1 to 10. And if you go to yoursalesplaybook.com/checklist, yoursalesplaybook.com/checklist, you can download your free copy. My advice to you is this. It will take you all of about 5 minutes to do the checklist. And go through it, print it out, just kind of rate yourself on a scale from 1 to 10. And my advice is always this. Pick your lousiest qualities, the one where you're like, Houston, man, we've got a serious problem. Like let's suppose like you look at yourself in the mirror and you say, I just suck at time management, and I'm just awful at cold calling, and I'm really shitty at negotiation. And yet I think those things are very important qualities for my role. Well, then you're going to flag those, right, as areas that you want to work on. But at the same time, I also want you to flag the top three areas where it's like, let's just say that you happen to be really good at using LinkedIn. Okay. And you know, you rate yourself like an 8 or a 9 or a 10 in that area. Well, then put that on the list too and flag three of your best areas. Because here's the deal when it comes to self-improvement. Everybody's always telling you should be working on your weaknesses. Absolutely right. You should be working on your weaknesses. But I don't want you ever focusing so much on your weaknesses that you aren't polishing your strengths and working those muscles. I mean, to me, that would be ridiculous to avoid areas where you're already good in. You should absolutely continue to get better. I mean, quite frankly, a few years ago, I remember thinking in 2012, that was pretty good with email marketing. And then I just decided to really kick it up a notch. And I've tripled my sales in that area just by being the humble student, looking at people that I know are getting very good results in that area and modeling my behaviors after them and just dedicating myself and purchasing programs. And I've had coaches in different areas, especially that area, just so I can get better. And even though I thought I was doing a pretty damn good job, but if I had stopped right there, I would have missed out on just a lot of money, a lot of opportunity, a lot of clients, and even the opportunity to help as many people as I've been able to help, because I wouldn't have reached them. So that's something that I want you to think about. So again, the first thing is we're going to look in the mirror. Just kind of look at ourselves in the three areas: getting new accounts, retaining wowing accounts, growing accounts. Look at the checklist that I have for you. And when you identify those areas, now start working on those. I mean, there's no shortage of things if you were to Google those areas, right? Like LinkedIn tips, if that's one of them, time management tips or whatever. I also really, and I would give you this advice if this wasn't my line of work. I mean, I don't want you to think, hey, he's giving me this advice just to serve himself. I would give you this advice in a heartbeat because this is what I did. I mean, long before I decided to be a coach, I realized that I had to have some skin in the game because free stuff is good. Don't get me wrong, but it's the stuff that I pay for that I always take more seriously. I mean, I can give you any number of examples of things that I've gotten for free. I value them. I appreciate them. But the things I pay for, I've invested in it. So I take it very, very seriously. So the other thing that you can do, and I'll talk about it more later, when you start looking at these qualities where you have to get better or whatever, don't forget that we're going to be doing, and I only just announced it the other day, we're going to be doing a webinar focused exclusively on how you can finish stronger. In fact, it's going to be called 25 Ways to Finish the Year Strong. And if you want to learn more about that, if you go to yoursalesplaybook.com/finish-strong. So the next thing that you have to do after you've really looked at these three areas that I talked about, look at yourself in the mirror and do like a skills assessment of these areas. Now you have to realize something. Everything that you do, especially now between now and year end, but you should be doing this all the time anyway, everything you do with the planning and execution of your sales strategy needs to underscore those three drivers. It needs to either be getting you a new account, helping you to retain and wow an existing account, or growing an existing account. In fact, if you're not driving the car, I'd like you to write something down. What I want you to do is just a reality check throughout your day several times, because if you're like me, there's lots of activities that you're engaging in. So what I do is just a really quick little check, a little reality check, is I ask myself, is what I'm doing right now, right this second, either helping me to get a new account, retain or wow an account, or to grow an account? So I do that. That's one of the things that I do because, you know, bad days really don't wait till 5 to 5 to happen, right? I mean, they have a starting point, and if we can just stop it as close as we can to that starting point, well, I think that's a good thing. The other thing that I think you really need to do is to make sure as you're planning your week, or if you go day by day, whenever the planning happens, that these things that we talked about that are drivers, like getting the new accounts and retaining slash wowing and growing, they have to go on your calendar. And what I found is that there's some very big mistakes that we make in the sales profession. And we're very good at putting an actual appointment. Like, let's just say I cold call your business and say, yeah, Paul, you know, I'll be happy to meet with you and hear you out. Let's get together on such and such a day, such and such a time. It goes on the calendar. Why wouldn't you do it, right? It would be odd not to do that. But yet, when we say to ourselves, you know what, I'm really liking Castain's message this week. I got to get it on the, you know, I got to get serious about, I'm going to make some more calls this week. Yeah, just say amen after that shit, because all you have there is an effing prayer. That is a prayer. I mean, there's no serious I'm going to do it aspect of that shit. It's just, you're just talking nonsense until you take out that smartphone, which you're not even going to have to take out, let's be honest, because you know it's surgically attached to your hand. And just like open up your calendar and say, prospecting from this time to this time, whatever the activity is, to underscore those three drivers, it has to get on the calendar. And then when it gets on the calendar, here's the second biggest mistake. Because there are a lot of sales reps who don't schedule that. They only do it when some magical moment in time appears when it's like, I've got the time to do this. You never have the time to do it. Admit it. You're always busy. You're always in response mode. There's always a fire to be put out. There's always a deadline. There's always an 11th hour thing that has to be done. So you never quite get around to it. And even if you are good at getting around to it, why the hell do we put everything else in front of the three things that we get graded on? So it really needs to get on your calendar. But here's the second biggest mistake. It's once we get it on the calendar, the few people who actually get it on the calendar, they allow other things to get in the way of it. Really, they do. Now, I want you to think about something. If you have an appointment to see a potential client, you've cold called the place and they say, yes, I'll meet you on such and such a day, such and such a time. Would you just, if something else came up, just blow off that appointment unless it was like just a god-awful emergency? And of course you wouldn't. And what I always like to point out to people is to kind of beat this up with me. Why wouldn't you just cancel an appointment with a potential client or even an existing client? Why wouldn't you do that? And there's a lot of different answers to that. But I think one of them that we'd all agree on is that it is just flat out disrespectful. So here's the $1 million question. Why is it disrespectful to cancel something with somebody else, right? Like a potential client or a client. But when we cancel an appointment we've had with ourselves to do the things that put money in our pocket, help our families, help our clients, right? The stuff that we get graded on. Why is that okay? So to me, I think it's absolutely asinine that we give everyone else a higher level of respect than ourselves. We have to have some degree of respect for ourselves. So what I'm here to tell you is once you make an appointment, you respect it. Unless the building is like burning, God forbid, you keep that appointment. And if you ever have to move that appointment, be an adult about it and say to yourself, okay, I've just lost my Thursday prospecting spot or my Wednesday and Thursday prospecting spot, because that happens sometimes. Okay, before I do anything else, when am I making that up? Because you need to make that up. So that's one of the things that I would recommend. And, you know, it's interesting. A lot of people, what they do, because they know their day can change instantly, they try to get their drivers in the bank very early, especially on the hunting side, like the getting new accounts. Like some people, what they do is they do this thing called 10 before 10. Every single day, they'll make sure that before 10 a.m. in the morning, they get 10 calls in. Other people have what they call a power hour, first thing in the morning, every single day before they go off and do anything else, they are hitting those phones or whatever. I teach a little bit of a different thing, and it's a lot easier for people to embrace. And I teach something called the 222 formula. Every day when you get up, you're having your coffee, send out two emails to two people that you aren't doing business with, right? I mean, how long could that possibly take, especially if you're doing it every morning? And most of us have templates that we use, so it doesn't take that long to do. Then, while you're still having that same cup of coffee or latte or whatever the hell it is that you drink in the morning, why don't you go ahead and send out two pieces of snail mail to two people that you're not doing business with? My rule for snail mail is there needs to be a handwritten component there. So maybe a little post-it note on that mailing piece, personalized, a little personal note to that person. Even still, how long could that possibly take you, especially if you're doing it every single day? So now, before I even have the day has officially begun, while I'm having my coffee, by the way, at like 6 a.m. in the morning, I've already got four attempts in the bank. And then what I do later in the day, at a more godly hour, certainly not at 6 a.m., I call two people that are not doing business with me. Now, this is not my activity formula. This is just like a holding thing that I do every single day to keep me in the prospecting habit, to keep my muscles strong in those areas. And then I actually have days where I really slam activity, where I have calling blocks and emailing blocks and all that. So I would recommend something like that that you do as well. But the other thing that you really have to do, and this is the one that if you are not driving right now, I want you to just like circle this one. Take full advantage of this temporary window that we have before everybody starts this mental checkout just after Thanksgiving and then the whole call me back after New Year's thing. This is the time for you to increase your activity, to really pick up the pace. So how do we do that? Well, first of all, schedule more hunting time. And I realize that for each and every one of us, that's going to be a different thing, how we go about doing it. So, you know, my definition of increasing my pace is going to be very different than yours, right? Because we all run at different paces. But now is the time to start picking up that pace. I also want you to consider something that's going to sound like a complete contradiction to what I always say about making sure that you conquer the world at home and that you balance, and how much I hate all these people that always say, always be hustling, and while you're having a life, I'm stealing your business and outworking you and all that stupid shit. I don't even want to start that rant. But I think it's important at this time of year that we consider a little bit of before and after hours stuff, and you can do it in a way that it doesn't infringe upon your family. I mean, like my biggest thing, by the way, the little secret that I really don't talk a lot about. I used to in the old days of my podcast and stuff. I used a moonlighting formula, by the way, when I knew I was going to start my business and I knew I was going to do something. What I mean by that is that I was a vice president, so I was very busy. I was the only person running and creating a training program and content to support 850 people across 70 locations in the U.S. and Canada. So I really had a busy schedule. It was like Castain World Tour. Every single week traveling and in and out of the classroom, visiting locations. I had all the people going through my programs. I was coaching many of them one-on-one several days a week. So I was very, very busy with that stuff. And I said, okay, well, I obviously can't have this extra stuff infringe upon what I'm getting paid for and graded on. So you know what? I'm going to do some moonlighting. And while my kids are sleeping or whatever it is, I'm going to do some work through the night or whatever it is. So in some cases, I got up earlier. In other cases, what I would do is I would have dinner with my family on the days that I was home. Then what I would do is just kind of hang out with them for a little while, maybe watch a little TV and stuff until maybe 9 p.m. And then I would almost pretend like I was going to a night job, just short of like having my lunch pail, going up into my office. All right, guys, see you tomorrow, whatever it is. And I would work. And for me, in those days, I was a lunatic with it. I'll admit it, because I really wanted to make sure that I was setting up this next chapter of my life. So I was doing all kinds of stuff up until like 2 in the morning and then getting up and doing it all again. I'm not saying you have to do that. I'm just saying that it never once got in the way of my family life, because I worked while they were sleeping. I got up a little bit earlier while they were sleeping, things like that. And you could do the same thing. So one of the things that I want you to consider is doing that. The other thing too, like when you're working after hours, we're not doing it just so that we can just like show everybody our scars and say, I'm hustling more than you. We're doing it because it's a great time to do some of the things that we really don't want to do during the course of the day, because either we don't have time or it's really not what I would call a money hours activity. Like, for example, doing my emails, I would rather do that after hours, because see, I can write you an email after hours, but really not too appropriate for me to call you at 10 p.m. at night. And I'm also guessing that you're probably not going to be in the office then, right? Even things like my research. A lot of people who believe that you should be doing your homework and all, they do that during business hours. Well, I'll do that during business hours too. I'll admit it right now. But I try not to do much of it during business hours. To me, that's something I can do after hours just to get prepared for my phone call. To me, when it's game time, right? Like whatever hours you want to say are game time. Let's just say game time for you is really between 8 and 6 or 8 and 4, 8 and 5. I really don't care what it is. But during game time, I don't want to be talking about the game. I don't want to be researching the game. I don't want to be coming up with my tactics for the game. I don't want to be practicing for the game. I want to be playing the damn game. And the crazy example I always give, this time here, imagine you put on the TV set, you ready to watch some baseball, and there's your favorite team, and they're not playing. There they are on the field. The cameras zoom in on them. They're like, what's going on? They're supposed to be playing. Cameras zoom in on them. And there's a bunch of players all doing different things. Some of them are like doing their training, man. They're running around and doing their sprints and throwing the ball. They're not playing the game. there's some other people there that are over there, like kind of by the chalkboard and going over like the game plan and what they're going to be doing or whatever it is, but they're not playing the damn game. There's other people pissing and moaning about their contracts and about the damn coach and maybe even, you know, like, because we never complain about customers, right? They're complaining about the people in the stand stuff, but guess what they're not doing? They're not playing the damn game. So as silly as that is, we do it in sales. We do that too. We're guilty of it. We're guilty of not playing the game, the actual game, during game time. So I save all that other stuff, especially this time of year where time is really precious. I do that like before and after hours. That's one of the things that I do. So the other thing too that you could be doing before and after hours is there's a lot of networking things that you could be doing. As crazy as this next one sounds, I've had a lot of success with it. I stuff envelopes and I do a lot of mailing and I do very well with it. And that's something you could be doing too. I also step up a lot of my LinkedIn activity. And there's a lot of it that I can be doing after hours, like posting some of my content. I use something that's kind of cool. I use something called Buffer App, where I can preload my content. I could, if I wanted to load that up at 2 in the morning and then go to bed and then have that stuff just like, you know, go through all the middle of the night or the next day or whatever it is, whatever. But I can preload my content and have it go out anytime. And my little secret is what I do is because this time of year, my travel picks up quite a bit with a lot of year-end stuff I'm doing. Very soon, I'll be doing a lot of the sales kickoff meetings and being the keynote speaker and hanging out with you guys, which I love to do. But while I'm doing all that, you're going to see I never miss a beat because I can preload something like Buffer App and I can have it go out on LinkedIn and on Twitter and on Facebook and all the different sites that I like to frequent and put my content out on. But in essence, I'm really in two places at the same time. And I actually do that during Thanksgiving weekend. I'll do that. I'll do that during the week between Christmas and New Year's, which I traditionally take off. But I'm still keeping up my appearances without ever infringing upon my family life. So there's little hacks like that that you could be doing. But also, this next one might rub you the wrong way, but I'm just here to give it to you straight and let you decide what to do. I'm not going to like sugarcoat shit so that you think I'm like the coolest guy in the world. I'm going to have some tough conversations with you guys. And you might want to consider right now putting in a little time on the weekend. Again, I know that that contradicts what I'm telling you. Be the family person. Hang out with your family. But here's my theory. It's going to be slowing down anyway, and I'm going to be spending more time with my family. And I already spent a good amount of time with my family, and I can get up a little bit earlier. But I also want to provide for my family, and I want to make sure that I'm getting ahead of the wave before that slowdown, because the worst thing in the world is when the slowdown hits and your pipeline is not where it needs to be. So our goal right now is to load up that pipeline, load up that funnel, so to speak. So that's what I would be doing. But you know, the other thing too that I would really think about when it comes to your time and everything else is we're not saying at this point that you have to like double your efforts, right? If you're doing 8 hours a day of prospecting, I want you to do 16 hours a day and sleeping is for wimps. No, I'm saying surely there must be a way for you to pick up the pace. It's up to you. I didn't tell you how much you had to pick up the pace. I'm telling you, you need to pick up the pace. And really what's important is how you're picking up the pace, because do you ever know somebody who, like, they're the busiest people in the world, but they get shit done. They're just busy, 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 busy. But they're just not focusing on the right thing. So what I want to remind you of is how we started this podcast today. If you're focusing on the three drivers of success, of sales success, or in your particular business, let's just say it's only two of those three, or even if it's the one driver for you, if you're focusing on that, and throughout the day you're being relentless, and you're saying, is what I'm doing right now either getting me a new account, helping me retain and wow that account, or grow that account? And if the answer is no, it's not, and then like you're making an adult decision, which is to get your day back on track. If you're scheduling these activities instead of, you know, if I have time, you're upping the amount of effort that you're doing. You're moving some of the stuff that's taking up your money hours and doing it during some off time or a little bit earlier. Maybe you're doing that 2-2-2 formula that I told you about. Maybe you're doing the 10 before 10. But the whole point of today's podcast is to let you know you have a window that is going to start closing. And right now you're in a dangerous state of mind, right? Just a dangerous emotional state. And it's coming off of the summer. It's like, why is he making such a big deal about this? It's September. Lighten up, Castain. Have a drink. And I might do that. In fact, I'm definitely going to do that after the podcast. But before I do that, I want to let you know that if this entire year went by in a blink of an eye, or a blink of two eyes if you have two eyes, imagine how the next 10 weeks are going to go. And I want to have you think about one other thing, that I'm always hesitant to say it, because the people that usually make statements like the one that I'm going to make usually irritate me to no end. And I really don't want to be that guy. I really don't. I just think that I'm doing you a disservice and not delivering a message to you. You know, many times we look at situations and we forget to kind of ask a very difficult question. I mean, it's a very difficult question that I'm going to propose. If you are feeling pressure right now in September about being able to really pull off your goals by the end of the year, you also have to have some tough conversations with yourself, as in, why am I in this situation? And especially for those of you who are really under the gun right now. And usually I don't bring this up until about November. If you're sweating it out and say it's November, you know, the holidays, like, they weren't just invented, guys. It's just like they've been around forever. So it wasn't like they just sprung this on. Oh, by the way, everybody, sorry for the short notice. We're going to have this new thing called Christmas and New Year's and all, and holidays, and people are going to be blowing you off and using it as an excuse. That didn't just happen. This has been happening your whole life. You've been exposed to it your entire career. So for you to act shocked this time of year that, oh my God, I don't know if I'm going to make it. I mean, like you don't wait until the final laps of 2017 to realize, holy shit, I'm losing the race. That little internal dialogue should have happened a while ago. But like I told you, I hate the people that usually deliver messages like that, because they deliver it and they put this whole thing on you. It is your fault. You suck. You hang your head. But you see, I at least had the decency to deliver that message to you after at least giving you some ideas and some solutions. They typically give it to you and just have you hang your head and slit your wrists as the solution. You know, the solution. I'm inventing words. I'm so upset about this shit. It, you know, they don't give you any ideas. Well, you should have done this. Yeah, and I bet that makes you feel really big, putting me down like that, right? So I don't want to be that person. But I'm if you think I'm the kind of coach that's going to tell you all this shit's going to be okay when it really isn't, I'm going to do you a disservice by, you know, being your buddy and telling you, oh, but it's okay. It's not going to be okay. It really isn't. And it's best you hang out, you hear it from me. So what I'm here to tell you is you have a window right now, 8 to 10 weeks before the proverbial shit is going to hit the fan. My advice is you step it up. You become absolutely relentless on those three drivers of sales success. Getting it on the calendar. Having those reality check breaks is what I'm doing right now, either getting me a new account, helping me retain or wow an existing account, helping me grow that account. Also, looking in the mirror, rating yourself, and looking at the qualities of sales rock stars, like we talked about, and all those qualities will fall under one or more of those three drivers of sales success, and then doing something about it and not just going for the free stuff. I mean, seriously, we make decent money as salespeople. Would you at least acknowledge that? I mean, I hope you are. And yet, many times we are the cheapest sons of bitches on the planet. I mean, seriously, it's like, God forbid you buy a $15 book on Amazon. And you might think I'm just being sarcastic and trying to be funny here to illustrate a point. Do you know how many people tell me I was going to buy that book, but my boss won't reimburse me? And I'm like, you cheap bastard. Are you kidding me? I mean, I was just talking the other day about how you took your family here. You're buying this car. You're getting, you're upgrading your phone and you're not even entitled to an upgrade yet. So you're going to pay all this extra money? You know, I hang out with you, and I know that you like expensive cigars like me, but God forbid you invest $15 in yourself. Or I get it sometimes with my $99 webinars. It's like, yeah, my boss won't reimburse me. And I'm like, I'm not going to say this because I don't want to make anybody feel bad, because I had my times in my life when I was short of money. But I'm like, geez, man, it's like, nobody's asking. It's $99. I don't think you have to sell off a kidney to do it. I don't think you have to mortgage the house and get all the damn deposit bottles. And most of us are pissing away a hell of a lot more than that. So be willing to also invest in yourself. And the reason why I'm saying it is not only so you gravitate toward my shit, but so that you take it more seriously. Because I'm telling you, think about all these podcasts of mine that you've listened to and other people's. I'm sure they resonate with you and they hit home. But more often than not, when it's free, it becomes the background. It's like while you're driving and it's entertaining and it becomes more entertainment for you. But when I invest in something, I'm not looking for entertainment, man. I'm looking to make my money back and make some money and get better and kick somebody's ass as a result. And I think it would be the same for you. So having said all that, and before you go, I'd like to remind you that on September 21st, which is a Thursday, at 11:30 a.m. Eastern Time, we're going to be hosting a webinar, and it's called, you ready for this? You want to talk about timely, 25 ways to finish the year strong, and also begin 2018 stronger, because we might not be able to pull a miracle out of the hat between now and year end. But I'll tell you what, we can put some things in place so we're going to have a lot easier January, that's for sure. So there's a lot of things that we're going to be talking about during this webinar, but just a few very quick bulleted items for you. We're going to talk about how to actually leverage the fall and winter season, because there's some things you always have to use what you've been given, and not necessarily, a lot of us complain about what falls in our lap instead of looking at, wait, how can I leverage this? How can I actually use this to my advantage? And the fall and winter, there are some very interesting things you can do with your messaging during this period of time. And I share lots of ideas just in this area alone. We're going to talk about two ways that you can triple the amount of referrals that you're getting. We're going to talk about email tactics that help you get your emails open, read, and responded to. Six ways to leverage your social networks. And we're also going to talk, and amongst other things, how to create a communication plan, like a communication plan of all different things that you could be doing, when you should do it, how, like your cadence, if you will. I'm going to do this on this day. I'm going to wait a few days if I don't hear back, and then I'm going to do this. So we talk about a really effective communication plan that's designed to help you open more doors and close more business. So if you'd like to learn more about this, and I really hope that you do, please visit yoursalesplaybook.com/finish-strong. Let me say it again, yoursalesplaybook.com/finish-strong. We're talking all lowercase letters here, folks. And with that, I'm Paul Castain from yoursalesplaybook.com. I am wishing you an incredible week ahead. Go get them. The Sales Playbook Podcast is a Castain Training Systems production. Visit us at www.yoursalesplaybook.com.